Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner, and this is the interview that I've been looking to do. Joining me is an entrepreneur, Heather Gunn Rivera, who has a fitness studio in New York City. It's called Grassroots Fitness Project. And like many of us, she can't go into the office. But for me, not going into the office means I have to suffer from doing these interviews from home, but it's not that big of a deal. She had people who were coming into her place, working out in person, and now they can't do it. And instead of just closing up shop and saying, all right, this stinks, this is the way life is, and being miserable about it, she went online. I can't imagine that this was easy, and we're not going to pretend that this was easy, but she's making it work. And I said, could you please come here and talk about what you're doing? And as soon as I heard her story yesterday, I wanted to rush it out today. I never rush like this. And we made this work, and I'm really appreciative to Heather for doing this. We're going to talk about how she went online, what's happening with turning her business online. And I want to just keep featuring entrepreneurs who are finding a way to make things work in this new economy. And I could do it thanks to a phenomenal sponsor. It's called ClickFunnels. If you're looking to sell anything online, I'm going to tell you later why you need to go to not just ClickFunnels, but clickfunnels.com/Mixergy. Heather, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Were you freaking out the day that you were told that you all have to shelter in place in New York?
Yes and no. You know, something that you just said with entrepreneurs and making it work, I think that's what entrepreneurs are, right? We take problems and we solve them. That's how we become entrepreneurs. So in having that mindset, yes, of course that went through our heads, like, oh my God, what do we do? You know, what does this mean? Thinking about the overhead that we still had, our employees that we didn't want to, you know, have them lose their job because they were kind of looking at us like our own two kids look at us like, mom and dad, what do we do? You know, so it was a lot of like, pull our bootstraps up and don't freak out. Let's move forward.
There wasn't even a moment where you said, this stinks, I can't stand it, where you were angry at the world, where you, here's the phrase that I use, you were, right?
Yes.
For me, it's the 100%. Phrase is, when is it going to be easy for a little bit at least, you know?
Of course. Well, actually, we had just had, so we've been open for 16 years on the Upper West Side as a small business, and we had just had our best January ever. In 16 years. So we were feeling stoked. I mean, really, our business is like five businesses in one, and we've been trying to take it in different ways and getting really excited, and all these things are happening. And February is an amazing month too. And then this news comes out and you're kind of like, really? Is this going to go in the direction they're saying it's going to go in? There was definitely that period, you know, where there were the people that were afraid immediately and jumped in their cars and went to the Hamptons or rented a house in the Poconos. And then those that were like, it's not going to be anything. It's okay. Let's not jump to conclusions yet. Let's just kind of handle this as it goes. And so we were definitely in that boat at first and continue to be, because we have to be. I can't live in fear. I can't. I have to. That doesn't help anybody. And that's, so we, yes, 1,000%, I have had my emotional breakdowns, my emotional breakthroughs. We've had, my husband and I, our walks at night, and all these possibilities that we're thinking about that can come out of this. Like, that's really where our brains work and love to be. So yes, 100% freaking out, but that's not where I like to live, if that makes sense.
What was Grassroots like in January? Like, what happens if I walk? I'm looking at photos of it here on Google Street View. I see that there's a park next door to you. If I were to walk in, what would I see when it was in person? What's the experience that I have as a customer?
Well, Grassroots is a place where everybody knows your name, like Cheers. You know, we started, this is our second location, but still a first, only one location. So, in 3 years at this location, prior to that, we were in a duplex studio on the 80th that we converted into a gym, and people would come and work out and then hang out and have dinner with us. And so it was all about community when community wasn't a focus in the fitness industry at that time. So we have been running that since 2003, really, or 2002 when we were unincorporated. And moving through, we just brought that into a true commercial space, but still had that down home cooking type feel. So you'd walk in and people would know who you are. Whether they knew who you were, they would act like they know who you were, right? We wanted you to feel that you weren't just a number. And there would be one-on-one sessions happening. There might be a small group training class happening in the back. There might be a kids program going on, if it was either parkour or epic obstacle or teen and tween strength, whatever was happening that day, it was always alive. I think the thing with the fitness industry is the nature of the business is early morning, late evening, right? And so we really found a way to fill all hours of the day, all day long.
Even the middle of the day with what?
Yeah.
With what?
Well, there's different demographics. So, you know, we're on the Upper West Side and we have some stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads. So they might come in the middle of the day. There's a lot of homeschooling that happens. So we would have classes in the middle of the day for those kids. Our kids programming really started at like 2 o'clock, and you would have private training all the way from people that wanted to go before they went to work, you know, at 6 a.m. in the morning. And then you'd have the next rush of people that would start after they dropped their kids off at school all the way through to noon. And then we would start again at 3 all the way till after work.
And Upper West Side, from what I remember when I lived in the city, was where the families were. That's where I would actually see a stroller, which I never saw where I lived in the Upper East Side.
Yep.
And then there was the shelter in place order in New York City about a month ago. Where did you get the idea that you were going to go online? Oops. I hope I didn't lose you.
Can you say that one more time?
Where did you get the idea that you were going to go online?
What was the idea to go virtual?
Was this from the strolls that you and your husband would take and you just kick around different ideas for how to make it over the next few months?
It literally happened in like 48 hours that we were up and rolling virtually. I think it's that the technology is there. We knew that Zoom, you know, existed. People had been talking about getting on, and we didn't know how it existed. I had never used Zoom in my life prior to this. And we were just rolling out our kids programming for the third semester. So it's a tri-semester, and it was the third semester, and it was going to be starting that Monday. And the governor just said schools will be closing. And we were like, oh my God. So we knew that we had to really go, you know, get to work and figure out how to, because we couldn't give all that money back. We needed to figure out, okay, how do we keep going, not kill our business in the process? It wasn't even an idea of how are we going to really thrive and make our business better out of this. It was, how do we come out and have our doors open when this is all over? So prior to the major rollout, there were a couple clients who were starting to feel uneasy about being at the studio and with people. And so we said, well, let's do a Zoom session. And they said, okay. So we just tried it out. And, you know, we were skeptical of it. Honestly, we were really skeptical of it, how it was going to really translate from the whole in person being with people. How are we going to correct them? How are we going to have that personal connection and really be able to, because we're all about quality. So how is that quality really going to stand up virtually? And it has. It's been fantastic.
And so the first sessions that you did were one-on-one, and was it the clients putting their laptops on the ground and pointing the camera towards the work that they were doing and the coach telling them what to do? That is.
Yeah, absolutely. More iPhones, you know, like on your phone, set your phone up, you know, what we've learned now, I have a whole list of how to make your experience better for virtual classes and training for the things that we've learned about it. But it was, yeah, like just set yourself up in a place. You don't need anything. We're just going to go body weight. We really went back to our roots, like grassroots. That's how we started. You know, when we started grassroots, we knew we wanted to transition people out of the corporate gym into this small setting in our home, right? So how are we going to do this? We knew we couldn't afford equipment at the time. So we knew bands didn't cost a lot and we could do stuff with that. So we were like, bands are the next best thing, and really started training our clients on them. And so when we transitioned them over, there wasn't this, you know, what is this? It's so unfamiliar. So the way that we train our functional training, when you bring it down to it, we're all about the basics. There's no gimmicks at grassroots, and it's a very gimmicky industry right now. And this is, I think, what's really helping us is that we are so fundamental and we are so about the basics that we don't need all of these frills. So when we were training our clients in this way, we knew and they felt comfortable with everything that we were giving them because it's nothing that we hadn't given them before.
I mean, in the early days, you were basically using body weight and bands, and now you're going back to body weight. I imagine if someone has bands, you could do training with bands. And so I see when I'm on the website right now, a list of different online classes. I could tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m. take a virtual core and restore class. Yeah. By the way, six of those slots have already been sold. So they're in there already. Then if I wanted to go a little later in the day, I could get my virtual reset yoga. Nine of those have been sold, and so on throughout the day. There's a virtual kids fitness class. And so you keep on going through. How did you figure out, or how did you start rolling out these classes? What changes did you make? Let's start with how you knew what to roll out.
Yeah. So we basically went with regard to the classes, we already had our class schedule in place, right? So we kind of went off based on those class schedules, but had to quickly talk to people to see how their days were unfolding in this virtual world as well, because now it was shifting for them. What was once worked for them isn't going to work for them now because they have their kids who are now in virtual homeschool, and they didn't realize how involved they were going to have to be in their kids' schooling. So they need to set them up on computers and be techies with that, and then get them set and then be able to join us, you know? So we started with the classes that we had before and really just talked to people. When we had people on the screens at the end of class, we'd say, "Hey guys, are there any other classes that, you know, any other class times that might work better for you?" And they would shout it back and we would go back. So it was really every Saturday I was reorganizing the week for the next week. So I was making shifts on where the classes need to be. With the kids' classes, same thing. We kept them around the same times. We also offered the opportunity for you to create a class. So that's really how grassroots classes started, was people creating a class. So we would say to somebody, "Hey, if you have a group of friends that you would like to start a class for, we'll start it with four people, you know, and then we'll open it up to our public. We'll start a class." And so I went back to that kind of mindset and brought that in. And that's how we've developed.
Oh, what a great idea. So if I and four of my friends are chatting on iMessage or doing something where we're playing.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me okay? This connection I know keeps going in and out, right? Am I coming through okay to you? Oh, I think that our connection is now starting to.
Yeah, I think it's a little delayed now.
What happens to you in a class when this happens, there's a delay? Good. What do you do in a class when there's a delay and you need to watch what people are doing? And the delay is happening because my whole freaking family and my whole neighborhood's on the internet now. How do you handle it?
Totally. Honestly, it doesn't happen as often as you think it would. We definitely have had things where, you know, for Zoom, you have to buy the $15.99 for the person if you want to go over 45 minutes with more than three people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have 10 employees that we've kept employed, but we haven't bought 15 packages. We bought, like, let's say we bought five, and then we'll, you know, change up the licenses for people. Yep. So that has happened where we've forgotten to do that, and I'll be in class, and then all of a sudden it will pop up in the corner, like the 10-minute, 5-minute countdown, and I'm like, no! So you quickly send a new invitation to people. You know, I mean, I think people are they're just so grateful that we have this for them and are doing this for them, and, you know, they're forgiving. So if something happens, and I'm such a perfectionist that I was freaking out in the beginning when something little like that would happen, it's a real lesson to just kind of take a breath and move through it, because we can't control this. You know, it's all new to us. We're all figuring it out.
And you know what, Heather, you're absolutely right. We're now at a point where people are forgiving because they know this is brand new. 2-3 years from now, I think this is going to stay. People will still do virtual classes. Once you learn it, you may not always switch to it, but it becomes a part of your life. And for some people, it becomes the only way that they want to work out. At that point, they're not going to be as forgiving. At that point, they're going to want everything to be on top, on point. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of competition. But right now, people understand. And what a time to go in there and say, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to be sucky for a bit at some parts of it, great at other parts, and then just keep evolving with this platform.
You know, Andrew, I think that's why, I'm 4 weeks into it, and some people are just coming into it. And I've had that question asked, like, how did you do this? And it's the same way we started Grassroots before, that we don't think of the hows. We're not business people. At the heart, we are professional coaches. And what we want to do is be able to give out what we know. And how do we do that? You have to jump in. You have to be willing to fail. You have to be willing to make the mistakes and have it not be perfect. You can't think about all those things first.
I do. What I was saying earlier when we lost our connection was, I love how you can say, if 3 of my friends and I have been on iMessage talking about I don't know what, we could say, hey, let's transition this. We're going to sign up for this program and do an online session with Grassroots Fitness Project. All right. Yep. Let me take a moment to talk about my sponsor, and then I want to come back and ask you what you learned about doing these classes virtually. I've been watching my kid who's in kindergarten go through his class, and his teacher first did exactly what you did in person online. And I saw my kid was checked out. At one point he was doodling on a piece of paper, just completely not paying attention. And now he's engaged and like they're paying attention. I don't know what you did and how you evolved. But first I'll tell you my first sponsor and only sponsor for this interview is ClickFunnels. ClickFunnels is a way to create landing pages that will not just turn people into email subscribers of your list, but also sell. You, Heather, have been considering ClickFunnels. What are you considering them for?
Well, we have some products coming out that we've been working on for a bit, some fitness equipment, all recycled, renewable materials. We have a calf stretcher that we've made, all from the climbing wall that was at the original Grassroots studio that we've taken apart and put together for people to purchase. We also have a jump rope of sorts called a heavy rope coming out, made all of recycled climbing rope for different weights. And with these products that we're putting out, we've been thinking about how the click funnel could really,
I have a couple of ideas for you.
Hope that, right. Okay.
here's what I would do if I were you for jumping rope. Jumping rope is an excellent idea right now because people are in their backyards. They need something that moves them fast and they're not going to spend money on a Peloton that they may not use 5 months from now, right? Imagine this. Imagine if you create a landing page saying, I'm going to show you how to use jump rope to exercise to get the equivalent of a run from outside, but do it indoors. And I'll give you exercise that if you stink, I'll show you how to do it. And I'll give you exercise that will get you into a higher level with this. So you can really be doing this for 20 minutes and hear the benefits of it. Give it away for free. All they have to do is enter their email address. And they are, in fact, what I would do is, people don't want to give an email address for something that's online. They'll take it and then they'll give you a fake email address and take what you want. Make it like a 5-week or 5-day training where you're going to teach them how to jump rope and then teach them how to get good at it, then teach them how to build up, right? So they give you their email address and they get this training that comes to them via email. ClickFunnels can do all this. I just bumped my mic because I got so excited. Number two, as soon as they follow up with that, the next page could be one of two things. It could be, you know, we have a great jump rope that will actually make it really good for you to do this well. Do you want to buy it, right? And they fill out their credit card information and they get to buy it right there and you send it out to them. Or the next step is you know, once a week we do jump rope in class. Imagine if there's somebody who's watching with you. It usually costs $25 for an hour. If you do it right now, it's going to be $7. The reason you want to go low, the first one is to just get them to spend money at first so that they feel comfortable with you. Then you also get their credit card information in the ClickFunnels software, right? And then the third page at that point could be, by the way, we have a jump rope. If you don't have one that you feel really good about, we have one that that will make this work out great for you. Now, all these things, easy drag and drop. You just sit there and you explore. It's easier at times than even doing Zoom. You saw there are a couple of tricks in Zoom that are pain in the butt. In fact, I see that I've just lost my connection with you on Zoom, but it's back, right? ClickFunnels, much easier than that. Listen to me, everyone. If you're out there using this, I got tons of ideas for what ClickFunnels could do for everyone's business. The way you get those ideas is
you're all like frozen.
I am. Heather, this is like, I could see what it's done for my business. And it took me from this thing that I didn't even care about to suddenly my one funnel did over $1 million in sales within a year. All right. Listen to me, everyone. If you want to go try this, I'm going to let you try it for free. All you have to do is go to clickfunnels.com/Mixergy. Mixergy is spelled M-I-X-E-R-G-Y, and you will get to try it for free. clickfunnels.com/Mixergy. It is amazing software that will turn strangers into relationships and allow you also to sell to them. All right. Heather, what was it that you learned as you evolved the online classes to make them more and more interesting?
I think the ease of it, anytime you take out any steps for people, anytime what we were saying, so okay, for the kids' classes, we realized that the social distancing was a big issue as well, right? The kids needed to connect. When you come on with Zoom, you know, there's some instruction in the beginning and then you put mute on and you're really kind of on your own even though you're in a group. So we needed a way to connect the kids to each other before we started their workout. And so we sat, it's about 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending on the size of the class. The coach poses a question and you kind of go around and connect and talk about your day, what's going on. And so the kids start to see the normalcy of their day because they're seeing that other kids are also having this experience and maybe there's a cool thing they wanted to share or whatever. So we found that that was actually a very important part and not just having it be about the physical, which is what grassroots is, right? With the adult classes, I started opening the classes about 10 minutes before the actual class started. So anybody that wanted to come in earlier and talk with people, they could. So if you logged on a little bit earlier, you could talk with the people that were going to be in the class. And another thing is to let them know that once we put on mute, put together a playlist. Have your music on in the background because it could be very one note, just seeing the coach kind of coaching you. You know, if you're in a class atmosphere, you still want that environment. If music is a big part of what gets you to work out, have that on in the background. The one-on-ones, it was really important. And this is for everybody. It was really important to be able to set yourself up so that you could see initially, you could see whether the person was on the ground or standing so that you didn't have to adjust the camera angle every time you stood up, every time you sat down. Trying to think of anything else. There are just different nuances with regard to those little things. But just once you take the adjusting that, you know, out of it for them, then they're just kind of able to be there and, you know, do the workout and be connected with the coach or the teacher who was ever with them.
You know, I've been wondering about I've noticed that some of the classes that one of my kids did started with introductions. A lot of the Zoom classes seem to start with introductions. I find that for the person who's waiting for the others to finish their introductions over 5, 10, 15 minutes, as you said, I find that it's boring for them to sit and watch a bunch of strangers talk about themselves.
Mm.
Why start with that? Why not have them do more individual stuff and let the conversation come out throughout? What do you think of that?
You mean having them talk to each other?
Or even having them listen to anyone else? And why let them, why ask them or expect them to listen to other people that they don't know yet before they get what they signed up for?
So I guess a lot in our classes, a lot of the kids already did know each other because they were coming from the class that they had had before.
Oh, and so they get to see their friends again, and it's the, yeah. Got it. And it's a chat experience. Yes. Okay. And are they then communicating if they know each other from before? They're talking, they're catching each other up. They don't feel awkward.
Yeah, a lot of them
it?
Are getting each other's numbers afterwards. Like if they knew each other, they're getting their, I don't know, what are these kids, like the roadblock, or whatever they're playing, like they're now connecting with them in another way. And so they're talking with them after, but they have known them before. I know what you're saying about the whole, it can take a long time. It's like you don't know the people because then there's that interest really isn't there for right. them to, yeah. But these kids know each other.
And so they're a way to connect with each other. All right. And then putting it down on the ground so that people can be seen completely is working for you. What do you do to get people to feel like they want to come back the next time?
The community.
How do you create community on Zoom with strangers?
Well, our community has already been created. You know, that was new people coming on are already going to feel that sense of community because it's the way that the coach interacts with. It's the way that we're communicating. It's not just, there's so much screen time right now that is just so passive, right? We're watching Netflix. Right. We are live streaming. So we're just kind of a number that's happening on a screen and we're watching somebody so we can kind of leave the room. And you can't leave the room. The coach will call you out. You know, you can't have
that
form. The coach will call you out, you know. And we have where we go around and, you know, like if the whole group is holding a static squat and then we're having this half of the screen go and then this half of the screen. So they have to watch each other and this person's going to do a burpee and they have to wait for that person to do a burpee. So we've figured out ways for them to connect up through their workout on the screen as well.
Well, by watching somebody else and saying, watch how they're doing it. And now see if you could do it or do are you asking them to give suggestions to everyone?
Not asking them to give suggestions, no. We might use somebody as an example on the screen, but when you're holding people accountable, it's a whole different, it's the same thing in the brick and mortar, right? You've got the Orange Series, you got the Barry's Bootcamp. Yeah, you're in a room and you're in a brick and mortar, but you might as well be on the screen. You're not being called out for anything. You're not being held accountable for anything. Yeah. So we keep our classes small enough that we can address the same things we were addressing when we were in our brick and mortar. That's how you create that, you know, sense of community is the sense of accountability. People come, you know, they're coming 3, 4, 5 times a week and seeing each other saying, thank you. This is structure for me that I wouldn't otherwise have. I love seeing people's faces that I know. You know, if you're a new person coming in, you're coming into a family and we always say, are you grassroots? You still got to be grassroots. This is not something where you're going to come in and you can go do your own thing. I'm telling you to do shoulder presses and you're doing bicep curls. Like, no, we will 1000% call you out that you're not doing what the coach is saying to do. So you have to have some type of, you've got to be grassroots. You've got to be grassroots.
So Heather, how does the revenue now compare to offline revenue? Give me a percentage.
Listen, it is not where we were when we were in the brick and mortar, but you bring this back. Like, so because we live on the Upper West.
Is it less than 50%?
It's less than 50. Yeah.
More than 30.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's brand new. We're recording today when you're 4 weeks into this. And the idea though is, this is going to be extra revenue that you're going to be able to bring in the future. And are you talking to people beyond the people who are in the Upper West Side and able to come into your studio in person? You are.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you 100%. Getting people from outside of New York to even find out about you?
Because people know people. It's still same word of mouth, but it's that people know people. And so they tell them they have cousins. Maybe they've gone to Florida and they're quarantining there. Maybe, you know, we've had over the course of 16 years, we've had clients that have gone and moved, you know, and now they're able to come back because they live across the country and they're able to come back to us because now were virtual.
Do you reach out to them because you have their email list? They're on your email list? You do? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And through social media, too, right? People see and they're following and they want to be a part of.
Okay.
I think where we're really going to see a big change is the summer months.
And
because
why the summer?
Because living on the Upper West Side, you're in a affluent family community that leaves for the summer. And they leave for the summer for their summer homes.
Yeah.
And so we have to completely change our business for the summer. It goes completely to camp for kids. So now we have people training right now at their summer home. So
yeah,
we will be able to, there's going to be no disruption. There was always a disruption in our business, and now there will be no disruption.
Okay. Also, I got contacted by a PR person that you brought in, right? So you're now starting to go out and show the world beyond New York. This is what we're doing. Here's what's right. And by the way, as soon as I saw this message, I literally responded right away. And then I said, can we do it tomorrow? I would have done it the same day, except I was homeschooling my kids. Because this is the type of story I think people need to find out about. And now you're using it as a way of saying to the rest of the world, hey, this is a great business story. It's also a great comeback story during COVID. And by the way, if you want to get some training, come to our website, sign up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
1,000%. We're all small businesses in this right now, right? Everybody's starting again, starting anew. So
I think, Heather, that there's a chance that I go through this myself. There are times when I go, maybe this is just my chance to just take some time and rest for a little bit. Just relax. Don't crush myself. And I think that's totally valid. But if I relax, what am I coming back to once this thing goes away, right? It's my whole business depends on me and my audience building momentum, right? If I decide, I'm not going to publish any podcasts for the next few months, or I'm going to scale back or just kind of dial it in, my audience may not be there in 4 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might as well lean right into this.
Yeah, that is definitely the driving force, because as much as, and I think it's also, the balance is hard, right? Because I have a family, I have two girls, I really want to spend time with them. And like you're saying, oh, let's just enjoy this time. Let's slow down. And in theory, that's nice. But in reality, because we don't know how long this is going to go on for, we've got to really act now in the way that you would when you're starting a new business. You've got to go all in so that you can step back later. This isn't the time to step back, for us anyway.
For me, it isn't either. And you know what? I feel better when I produce, like having this conversation with you. You could see I'm lit up by this. And I also think, frankly, my kids don't know what I do. They should be quiet when I'm recording in here. They should see me as I'm sitting at my computer and say, Dad, what are you doing? And watch me answer email. They should actually experience what my work is like, watch it a little bit, be a little bit involved, and not have it be some mystery thing that I do outside of the house. All right, Heather, I could see that Zoom
Unfortunately, my kids have seen a lot more of that than they'd like to, which they scheduled themselves into my scheduling on my phone without me knowing, so that they could have time.
I get that. And I do feel that I know that we schedule this outside of the time that you guys propose. I really appreciate you doing this later than you planned. And thank you so much for doing this interview. I'll say to anyone out there who's curious about this, go to grassrootsfitnessproject.com and you can see all these different programs. I will tell you that this is like, I could see that you guys quickly threw this up because the website exists as if the sessions were still happening in person. But if I look at the very top of the screen, I could see that you've quickly added a virtual link, a link to the virtual classes. So we're in a transition. If you go over to grassrootsfitnessproject.com, you'll see at the very top of the screen how you can sign up for a virtual training, maybe have some for your friends, maybe have one that you do by yourself, maybe even throw the kids in there and give them something to do so they can move around when they're stuck indoors. Thank you so much, Heather, for doing this. And thank you so much to ClickFunnels for sponsoring. If you want to go sign up for ClickFunnels, do it at clickfunnels.com/Mixergy. I appreciate their support, and I know you're going to love their software. Thank you, Heather. Thanks, everyone.